Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Church, I hope whatever it is that you are waiting on, the Lord can get you to a point where you'll say, it is well with my soul. I hope you know what a treasure we have in Pastor Keaton and the worship team. Amen. So I really hope that you give him and everyone you saw up here a high five for leading you so graciously every week. Good morning, Holland Chapel. How are you? My name is Luke, one of the pastors here. And I am overjoyed to be with you today. We are coming to the end of a really exciting summer. You saw much of what the students had been doing. It's not just the students that are busy during the summer. This church is active. I don't like the word busy, but the church is active all the time. The church is active during the summer. Lots of things, lots of good things are happening here at Holland Chapel. Would you agree with that, Holland Chapel? I want to spend a few minutes, this is kind of out of the norm, but I want to spend a few minutes sharing a little bit about what's going on, about some changes you're going to see, some restructuring of the stage that you're going to see over the next few weeks. Church, we're growing. And because we're growing, you know we're moving forward with a building project. And you're going to hear a whole lot more about that in the month of September, moving towards a capital campaign. But we do not want momentum to stop. We do not want the church to get to the point and say, hey, we're going to cease everything so that we can make sure that we can accomplish our goal of building a new facility. The work of the Lord does not stop. It does not wait, Holland Chapel. It doesn't stop. So we have got to keep moving forward. So what you're going to see over the next few weeks, beginning next Sunday, or after worship is over, we're going to do a minor stage remodel. And I want to give you some reasons why we're doing this. We're growing. We're filling this room up, and we need space. I want to share with you some numbers. To not just share numbers to brag, but to share numbers to encourage you that your work, your service, your inviting, God is blessing, okay? He's showing some favor on Holland Chapel. The summer, these are stats from July, okay? Each July of these years I'm going to share. July of 21, there was 299 people in here. July of 22, there were 355 people in here. July of 23, there were 444 people in here. July of 24, this year, we averaged 564 people in here. Church, can you see the upward trend? And that is the summer months. You know, if you've been around church for any time, the fall is peak numbers. Like, that's when people show up. So your pastors and your elders, we're going, where are we going to put everybody? I love preaching, but I don't want to preach three times a Sunday, church. Like, well, we've got to figure out what we're going to do with them. So what we're going to do is we're going to take these steps out, okay? With our rough figuring, that's going to add 50 more chairs in this worship center. You may say that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's times two, okay? Two worship, 100 people extra we're going to be able to fit in here. Would you want to bring 100 more people in here, church? We're running out of room, so we need more space. These stairs, this area that I'm standing on now will be removed. The stage will be pushed back. The risers will be removed. A couple reasons: to change the way that the band can function up here. This is an older stage designed for a giant choir scenario. We don't do that. We bring choir in on special occasions, so it allows the band to be more free in their movements and where they need to put things. And also, while we're at it with the redesign, we're going to put some money in our projection. If you don't know, we have to really turn the lights down low for you to be able to see a lot of video and a lot of detailed picture. We need a better projection system, okay? And also, I need you to understand this. You being in here on Sunday morning are not the only people that worship in this room. This room is used by Holland Chapel Student Ministry, whom God is blessing extraordinarily. There are a lot of students and a lot of volunteers that worship in here every single week. Raise your hand if you want your students to have the very best. I'm in that category. So as we move forward with the building project, for us to be able to accomplish financially what we need to be able to accomplish, we're going to build that out in phases. So the phases that we're going to build first in the new building project is the worship center, of course. We want to bring a lot of people to hear the gospel, and also our kids area. Those are going to be part of phase one. Phase two, later on when we can afford it, will be the student center that you'll see back behind us. So until that time, students will be worshiping in here. So you may be asking yourself, well, why are we going to spend money in here if we have to build something back there? Well, this is going to be used, church, for years, okay? If there was a bulldozer out there right now, it would be years before we are in the new facility. So we cannot stop moving forward. Are you with me, Holland Chapel? Some stuff has to be done for us to keep the pedal down, for us to keep the momentum going. So next Sunday, we're going to finish Amplify Weekend, up. And after that's over, after we're done using the room for everything Amplify, a construction crew will come in here, and hopefully this project will be done in about 2 weeks. So really only one Sunday, everything you see up here will be disrupted. But we're still going to gather here, and we're going to worship regardless of what it looks like. Right, Holland Chapel? And hopefully that gets buttoned up pretty quick. I said a whole lot. I'm out of breath already, and I haven't even preached. But you need to know. You need to be informed about what's going on. I'm excited, church. I'm excited about the things that we have to do so that we can keep filling this place up with people. Amen. The world is hurting. The world is lost, and people need the hope that Jesus brings, and only Jesus brings. So I want to see this place full. I want to see this place to capacity every single week. But let's move on to the sermon for today. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to jump into a mini-series, okay? A mini-series. And the title of that series is called Sacrifice. And the main thing that we're going to be looking at over the next 3 weeks is the word, obviously sacrifice, but the word serve or serving. What I hope to accomplish over the next 3 weeks is for you to hear the word serve or serving and have it relate synonymously to the word sacrifice. Because if we're honest, if we're real, when we serve King Jesus, we are, in fact, sacrificing. When we think of the word sacrifice and we hear that word in church, perhaps the first place that your mind goes is the sacrifice on the cross. Rightfully so. Christ sacrificed it all so that we could have eternal life. So when you hear the word sacrifice, that's probably where you go. Maybe coming in a close second would be finances, right? We hear the word sacrifice in church. We think, oh man, here they come asking for money. A spoiler alert, we're gonna be moving forward with that in a few months. But for us to accomplish the building project that we feel so compelled to do, church, it's going to take a lot of financial sacrifice. So you've heard the word sacrifice. You think about Jesus, and perhaps you think about finances, but I want you to think about serving. Please make no mistake, when we serve King Jesus, we are sacrificing. Like we've got to sacrifice something. But how I want to start this conversation is I want to share with you a list of reasons why we don't serve. Now please hear me. You're like, oh, here he comes already. I mean, we're like 5 minutes in. He's coming out of the gate. Here he goes. I'm not going to share this list with you to beat you up. I'm not sharing this list with you to make anybody feel bad about where they are or where they are not when it comes to serving King Jesus. I'm sharing this list, these reasons, to hopefully get you to think about some excuses that you may use. That's really the only reason. So as you hear these excuses, I'm going to say, I want you to think, man, have I ever used that? Or could I add mine to that list? So bear with me. We're going to go over a list. You won't see it on the screen. I just want you to listen to these. Say, Have I ever used that? Or, man, that's really good. I'm gonna put that in the holster, right? You may say this: well, I'm a member of another church, and I come here for extra teaching, or I'm looking for a church and to meet other people, so it's really not my place of service. This one, I'm too busy with work. I'm too busy. I'm a busy person. Or I'm too busy with family commitments. If you have kids in the home, you may be tempted to use this one. We're going everywhere all the time, every hour of the day. Or I'm married to an unbeliever who doesn't understand or doesn't like when I spend a lot of time serving my church. Or my husband or my wife and I don't get to spend much time together. So weeknights or weekends or spare time is very precious to us. Well, to that I would say serve together. Amen? Have you done that, husbands and wives? I don't know what opportunities are available, or I don't have all the info. If you don't know, you haven't asked. You haven't asked anyone. I don't know what gifts God has given me. This is one of the first things we did with our children when they placed their faith and trust in Jesus, is we give them a spiritual gifts assessment to see how God has wired them. Or how about this one? No one's asked. I don't do it because no one's asked me. You have not sat in here and that be a legitimate excuse. Like, we ask. We ask all the time. I've come here from another church because I'm simply burnt out. I just need to be fed for a bit. Or I'm serving in other ways outside of the church. Or I don't want to commit to anything in advance. I like to keep my options open. You are the commitment issue person. Probably you're the guy that dated for 7 years before you asked her to marry you. The commitment issue guy. Or I live too far away and it's a struggle to get to church outside of service times. How many churches do you drive by before you get here? I'm not telling anyone to go anywhere else, but that excuse doesn't fly. The staff team is paid to serve, so I don't have to. I don't know anyone who's serving in the area that I would like to. Well, it sounds like that's a great way to meet some new people. You ever met someone at church that you didn't know before? Has it been a blessing? It's not a valid excuse. Or I'm generous in other ways, meaning I don't serve with my time, I give with my money. Those two are not mutually exclusive. Like, giving money doesn't equal giving time. Serving is what the young people do. I've put in my time already. Leave it to the young guns who got the energy. Everything seems under control. I'm not needed. Or I offered to serve, and no one followed up. That's like raising your hand and asking not to be called on. I offered to serve and I showed up, but I wasn't needed, so I bailed pretty quick. I served for a while, but I felt unappreciated and no one thanked me. Paul says, I don't do what I do for the applause of man. If I was serving man, I wouldn't be serving God, is what Paul says. I don't get anything out of it. Sounds pretty selfish, that one. Or how about this one? This one's my favorite. I just don't want to. I just don't want to. Sadly, church, I'm going to say these are legit, not because they're valid excuses. These are legit because we've heard these before. And that's simply all that they are excuses. When you were listening to that list, were you thinking of perhaps something that you've said or a way that you have felt or thought about serving? And I want to warn you, as difficult as that is to hear, as difficult as this conversation may be to have, nothing that we read, nothing that we went over is valid. Like, those are simply excuses. And where we're at is, so oftentimes we build up such a good excuse. We start to believe the lie that Satan is telling us, that hey, I have a legitimate reason not to serve King Jesus. There is no legitimate reason not to serve King Jesus. And Holland Chapel said, and helped their pastor out, amen. There's simply not a valid excuse for you to step back and say, that's not for me. There's no good reason. If Jesus has changed you, you've got to serve him. But make no mistake, when you say, I'm going to serve, it is a sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:15, I absolutely love this passage of scripture. It says, he died for everyone, Jesus, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. When Jesus makes your heart his address, your life is no longer your life. It's gone. So when you place your hope and your faith and your trust in Christ, and you receive that sacrifice that he offered on your behalf, your response to him and what he did on the cross is for you to say, you know what? You died for me, so here is my life. I'm going to live. I'm going to do everything for you. So 2 Corinthians 5:15, church, takes every excuse off the table. Because of what Christ did for you, now you live for him. That's the reason, if I'm going through the gospel with anyone, we end on that verse. If you can't comprehend what he did on the cross and trust it and go, you know what? He died for me so that I can have eternal life. The least I can do is offer my life up here on this earth while I'm breathing. That's the least you can do. So there is no excuse. And for those that are living for him, I mean really living for him, you can attest to this. Living for him is so worth it, isn't it? So worth it. The sacrifice of laying your life down in service to King Jesus is so worth it. But are you ready for the sacrifice? I think it's going to be on the screen that sacrifice or serving is a life of sacrifice. What do I mean by that? It means that you're going to have to give up something so that someone else can have something. That's sacrifice. So when you say, all right, Jesus, I'm going to serve you because of what you have done for me. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I have new life. I have eternal life because of what you did on the cross. Here's my life. You have to understand that when you say that, you're sacrificing. And I need you to be okay with that. If you're not okay with that, you need to ask God, why am I not okay with that? Are you okay with giving up your life for someone else to have something? That's what sacrifice is. So when we sign up to serve, when we say, King Jesus, here I am, I'm going to give my life to you, you're laying your life down on the altar. We're about to get to that. You're laying your life down on the altar saying, here it is. Use me, God, in any way you see fit so that I can be a blessing to someone else. That's what the cross is all about. Will you sacrifice? You see how serving is a sacrifice. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. That's our jump-off passage for the day. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 is where we're going to spend our time. Romans chapter 12. Many probably know it. We're going to dive into it. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verses just 1 and 2. Paul says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This passage gives us a few things to think about when it comes to sacrificing for King Jesus. And Paul says there's one thing that you have to offer up because of what he's done for you. There's one thing that you have to say, here it is, Lord, and that's your body. That's your life. So the first thing that Paul says is you've got to offer up your body. Like you've got to say, because you died for me, here I am. That's what he says. Are you willing to offer it up? Paul says offer up your bodies. Why? Because they aren't yours anyway. They were bought with a price. Jesus paid it all for you. He bought you and he sealed you. But you may say, Luke, my body's broken. My body's tired. My body's ill. I've got disease. I've got an illness. I can't go. I can't do like I used to. Like he really wants this. Paul's not saying right here that God only wants the physically fit and young, church. That's not what he's saying. Paul is saying God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your soul. He wants you. If God was only after young, physically fit people, that would be a really small army. Like, that's not what he's after. Christ is after you because the Spirit of God lives in you. Do you believe that? That's why he wants you, because you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of God lives, there is great power. Yes, in you and I. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, don't you realize that your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. He's saying, Jesus died for you. Jesus sacrificed his life for you, so that those who place their faith and hope and trust in Christ would be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You now have the Holy Spirit living in you. So it does not matter what condition this vessel is in. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we offer it back up to God in service. So it doesn't matter how much you can lift or how much yard work for the church you might do. If you can paint walls or tear anything down, it doesn't matter. He says, offer yourself back up to him. You've been bought with a price, a precious price, which is the blood of Jesus. Will you offer it back to him? God wants your heart of service because it's spirit-filled. 1 Peter 2:5, he says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Are we getting the full picture? You can be a broken vessel and offer your body to God in service. Amen. I know a lot of people that are physically impaired that say, God, here I am, all of me, as broken as I might be. Here I am, God. Will you offer your body in service? Because it is spirit-filled, and that's what God wants. He wants to be able to use you. Offer them up. So Paul says, offer your bodies up. Whatever condition, God does not care. It's spirit-filled. And then he gives two stipulations, so to speak. He says, offer up your bodies that they will be living and holy. So the next thing I want you to write down is living. Offer your bodies up as living sacrifices. One day, you'll be dead and gone, and worshiping the one that saved you is what you'll be doing for all eternity. But until then, we serve him now, and we offer up bodies that are living. I don't want to bore you with the sacrificial system, but in the Old Testament, they would take a spotless lamb, they would bring it for slaughter, they would kill it as an offering to God. And you're like, well, Luke, you say that I've got to sacrifice myself for. So do I have to die? No, you don't have to die because Jesus did. So Paul's saying, offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice. We don't have to die on the altar. The way that we do that is we die to ourself, church. Like we die to our wants, we die to our desires. You don't have to lay down your physical life. Like you don't have to stop breathing. You just say, God, here I am. I'm going to live for you. But you cannot live for God if your life is full of excuses. Can't happen. You can't say, God, here I am living, but I can't then. I can't then. It doesn't work that way. You say, God, here I am. Use me. A living sacrifice filled with the Spirit. I'm here to do whatever you've asked me to do. This particular point in the message, I've prayed, God, give me an example. And church, I just want to brag on you because you think, man, we got a problem here at Holland Chapel that nobody's serving? No. This church is full of servants, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I really am. And there was a lot of people that I thought, man, I'm going to share their story. I'm going to share their story. Because it's an endless supply, and I'm thankful for you, church. But here I'm going to use my wife. That way you'd be like, oh, he didn't single that person out. I'm talking about my wife. Of course, I think highly of my bride. There's no one that works harder in general than my wife. She's a hard worker. Raised on a farm, it's all she knows. Work, 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 work. My wife's life passion, her calling, is working with children with special needs. So she does that to earn a living. She does it every day of the week. And she still does it here at church. Of anyone to go, you know what? I got beat up today because she literally gets beat up at work and bitten, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to not serve or serve somewhere else that's easier. That's not what she does. Because she knows her calling and she's in love with the Lord. She says, you've gifted me in such a way that I'm going to earn a living in this capacity. Then I'm going to serve you in and through the local church in this capacity. She's my hero, if you can't tell. Her husband, the guy preaching right now, has actually said, you need to take a break. And she was like, nah, I will in heaven. That's the kind of woman I married. She loves the Lord. The Lord is her treasure. She knows that the sacrifice he made on the cross was for her life. So she says, I'm going to give everything I have back to you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day of the week. She will not take a Wednesday night off, church. I've asked. She won't. There's no excuse in her mind. She serves. She serves all the time because she knows she has to offer herself up as a living sacrifice. What excuse are you going to hope flies in heaven one day? What excuse, church, honestly, when we get there and we got an answer for our life, we say, Jesus, I got a really good one. Maybe my pastors believed it. He's going to be like, good luck. That don't fly. What excuse? Will you offer your life up as a living sacrifice because God is your treasure? Mark 12, verse 30. Famous response to the Pharisees. Jesus says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What's this last part, church? All your what? Body. Everything that you have, you give to King Jesus. He asks for a living sacrifice. You cannot live if you're full of excuses. The next thing that he says is holy. So he says, offer your bodies up on the altar as a living sacrifice, active and moving and serving me. But then you got to be holy. Got to be holy. And you're like, well, that takes me out of the hunt, Luke. That's not me. I've got news for you. In Christ, his righteousness is imputed to you. What does that mean? all of Christ's righteousness, all of Christ's holiness, all of Christ's goodness is given to you. So you again are without excuse. Are you with me so far, church? There's no excuse that flies. He's saying you are holy. You've been bought with a price. You can present yourself as a holy sacrifice. In Christ, it's a worthy offering. God now sees you as he sees his son, Jesus. You can present yourself as holy, but there's subtle nuance here. You see, the gospel of Jesus requires two things, repentance and faith. That's it. Come to Christ in repentance and faith. Nowhere in the response does it say you have to be obedient to receive the gospel. The gospel produces obedience. It's not required. So when you're changed by the gospel and Christ's righteousness is given to you, you now have the potential and the ability to live a life that's obedient. You now have the ability to live a life that's righteous and holy. So when God says, hey, I want a living and I want a holy sacrifice offered up, church, I want to be used to the greatest capacity possible. But God cannot use me to the greatest potential if I have a life of sin. You see, it's no excuse to be like, well, I've been made holy in Christ, then I can live the way I want. That's not how this life works. You now have the gospel, so now you have the potential to be obedient and follow him and do what he asks. And he asks you to serve him. But it's awful hard to serve the holy God when you're caught up in sin. It's awful hard to be focused on what God wants you to do when you're focused on sin. You can't serve both. And you will serve something, church. You will sacrifice for something. It's either him or your flesh. What's it going to be? Are you going to serve him and pursue holiness? Romans chapter 6, verse 13. He says, do not let any part of your what? Church? Body. Become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Can you present yourself as a living and holy sacrifice in Christ? Absolutely you can. In Christ, absolutely, you can say, God, I'm gonna serve you. I'm not going to serve my fleshly desire. I'm going to give everything I have to you, not chase down the sin that I want to chase down. You can't serve them both. You can't serve both masters. It's either, God, I'm going to give everything I have to you, or I'm going to pursue the sin. You can't. So oftentimes when you want to serve, when you want to pursue him, when you want to do what he's asked, you can't because you're entangled, as Paul says, in the sin that so easily entangles and trips you up. You can't. So you say, God, help me. Help me pursue holiness. Help me pursue righteousness. Help me pursue obedience so that I can be used to the greatest potential possible. Raise your hand if you want to be used to the greatest potential possible. You can in and through Christ, but it takes you pursuing holiness, church. It takes you saying, you know what, I'm not going to serve sin any longer. I'm going to serve King Jesus. You will serve one of those two masters. Who will it be? I want to read Philippians 1:20, and we'll close with this. Paul says, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Can you have the same conversation? Can you say that I trust that my life will bring honor and glory to Christ? That's my hope for every person in this room, is that you can say, my life, I offer it up in service to King Jesus. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. We'll wrap up real quick. What's your excuse? There is no excuse that's legitimate. Will you squash them all and say, Jesus, you died for me, so I'm going to live for you. That way, when we stand in front of him one day, you can say, God, I pray that my life brought you honor and glory. Let me pray for you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in Jesus. And God, I praise you for this church, my church, Holland Chapel, that I have the privilege to serve alongside so many wonderful, godly, God-honoring people. And God, I just want to praise you for them. We're going to come into a season of activity, a season of ministry. So many people in this room right now that are going to be serving in all kinds of ways. God, I just praise you for them. Strengthen them, encourage them. Let them know that what they are doing is not to serve men, but to serve you. And God, I also pray for those in here today that have at some point or another, maybe right now even, throwing back excuses as to why they are not living for you wholeheartedly. And God, I pray that in the only way that you can, that you would softly and gently break through that exterior and show them that you want so much more out of their life, that serving you really is a blessing, that serving you is what is required. God, help us. Help us to give our lives to you because Jesus died for us. We are so thankful for the hope that we have in him. Amen.